Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Frank Galliano, legendary playwright and educator.
Legendary.
Good. Indeed. I put legendary on everybody's name who has a bio that is at least 10 pages long, and yours qualifies as that.
Is it that long?
Yeah.
On my website, it's only one long page.
Oh, well, that's how you get away with it there. But you have done an incredible amount of work as a playwright. Mm-hmm. One of the quotes that I often see attached to your bio is that you were part of the 1960s group of off-Broadway playwrights that were credited with revitalizing American drama. Uh-huh. That's quite a credit.
Yeah, I don't know if that's totally true, but it was quite a time. It was quite a time. Yeah, I was with friends and colleagues with John Guare name anybody from that period. And we all met because Edward Albee.
Yeah.
As a result of what he made on Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, he started a group of playwrights. And he called it theater. At that point, it was 64, whatever it was. And I was invited to, long story why, but I was invited to attend. And we were all met in that place with Barbara Wilder Albee. And we started to do work, and then we'd given a workshop, and we did workshops, and then they decided to do the best of the workshop, what they considered the best, to do it off-Broadway. And I did one of my plays off-Broadway, and that started the whole thing. So yeah, and it was an exciting time. There was a lot of crap, you understand. Can I say that word?
Oh, sure, yeah, hey.
but it was an incredible time. It was also when women playwrights were coming in to it, when there was the whole gay scene coming around, when there was the whole European sense of drama and Beckett, and it was all of that, and it was really very, very exciting. And affordable. I mean, you could get a play on off Broadway. Broadway was getting moribund, so they went to the off-Broadway group,
yeah,
and everybody started to go down there, and I was part of that.
Wow. So for someone who has worked very successfully in the genre since the 1960s, how do you feel that the business of playwriting has changed since then?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, does anybody know anything? It's true. It's just, well, so much has become corporatized. Is that a word, corporatized?
Yeah.
And back then, let's put on a show, just about, and you could. Well, when we did the workshop with Barbara Wilder and Albee, we had a $10 budget.
Wow.
And top people doing for 2 weeks, we put up a show. But when it went off Broadway, that was more expensive. But one of the differences, of course, is what the difference is everywhere. It's corporate. It's money. It's and it's also more niche. Mm-hmm. Fractionalized. It was less. When I lived in New York, just to give you an idea, in the 50s, and we had a brownstone apartment, it's floor through, $135 a month. And it had high ceilings, the whole thing. And you could walk downtown and you met everybody, the new dramatists, you all go into the same places. And
please tell me the place was rent controlled and you still have it.
No, nobody still has it. I don't know who has it. The Koch brothers, maybe.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
The whole thing.
Well, from your extensive resume, I mean, there were so many triumphs there. Of everything that you've accomplished in the art and field of playwriting over the years, what are you most proud of?
Just the works themselves. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to talk about the piece I'm putting on now, mm-hmm, which is an older piece, but a lot of them are speaking to us today, I think, about today. Hmm. I think especially Bodoni County. Sometimes that happens. You write something and you're really, it was okay for its time, and it did okay, but now it seems to be much more applicable, And so I'm proud of that there was a certain kind of looking ahead,
right,
and writing for the future as well, you know.
Yeah.
So there's that, and some of the productions, I would have to go into a lot of things, because I've been with a lot of very good people who are important in my life, and they would be wonderful. The universities, when I got into and working with the students, and it's just true, teaching, I learned.
Yeah,
from the teaching, I honestly did, and all the universities I was at, so all of that has been, all of those things have been wonderful, you know.
And the piece that you mentioned is musical review of sorts. Would this be a good way to describe it?
Yeah.
From the Bodoni County Songbook Anthology, a musical review, text and lyrics by Frank Galliano.
Right.
So this would it be safe to say is being workshopped right now, or?
Well, you know, we did it about 10, 15 years ago, whenever, here in Pittsburgh, and it went well, and then it's been laying sort of there somewhere. People out there were interested, and then I began to rethink it and look at it again and say, you know, I think this is worth a shot at getting it back again.
Yeah.
A couple of songs I wanted to put in, some I wanted to take out.
Yeah.
So did all of that, got a wonderful producer named John Keating, and who's sitting over there.
Yeah, I saw the plug, yeah. I was going to try to play it cool, like, but he wasn't in the room. Oh, John Keating, yeah, yes.
But also a part of the Musical Theater Artists of Pittsburgh, beginning to do a lot of interesting things. They were doing incubator work of new pieces that are really in development, you know. So this is not a new piece, but I consider it back in development.
Yeah,
back in the field.
Just needed to age like a fine wine.
Absolutely.
A little bit.
Or,
yeah.
or a nice,
fine martini,
fine
yes.
Fine martini, of course. But so the other reason, though, too, is that my composer, Clabe Richardson, who died some years back, he did, on Broadway, he had done the musical version of the Capote piece, oh, what's the name of it? It's escaping me now.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
No.
Answered Prayers.
No, the book. Oh, gosh, isn't that funny? It's
just, oh, wait, Audley and the Bee?
No. Do I have it here in my notes? Do I have it? No, I bet I don't. I can't even
It was a Truman Capote musical.
No, well, no? It was based on his novel.
Okay.
The one with the tree.
In Cold Blood?
And no. This was.
Could you imagine a musical of In Cold Blood?
I don't know. But he did the show.
Right.
And it wasn't a success on Broadway, but it became an underground success.
Hmm.
And he became known for that, and then did other things. And anyway, he heard that I had done a play about Marie Laveau and the whole voodoo period, which the Playwrights Theater of Pittsburgh did some years back here. We did the whole trilogy, Mark Suthers. But Clay had heard about it, and Eartha Kitt wanted to do went to him. Again, another long story, but wanted to do a show about Marie Laveau that she wanted to be in for herself.
Any story that involves Eartha Kitt, doesn't matter how long it is, I want to hear it.
Well, I haven't met her, but Clay did. But anyway, he wrote me. I was in Austin, Texas at the time, and he said, she wants to do this, and I need a book writer. Are you interested? Well, I was working on another book, a play, a musical, called Congo Square. And I said, no, because I'm steeped in this.
Yeah.
Would you like to look at this? So he said, sure. So I did, and I had the lyrics and that. He said, this is great. He said, let's do this. The other one, I don't know what happened. So it's one of those Broadway it's wannabe stories that never happened. I can give you some of those. You got another
mysteries
2 hours?
Of, yeah, Mysteries of Broadway.
Well, right? The Hunchback of Notre Dame, I was one of the writers on that and one producer, and it never happened on Broadway.
The original Victor Hugo novel?
Going
that far
novel,
back?
From the novel, but that never got by, and I went through hell with that one, so I can understand how these things happen.
Yeah.
So Eartha Kitt did not happen. But Congo Square did. And after that, I was at that point, I was at Morgantown at the, I had a chair in playwriting, the Benedum chair, I was on a sabbatical, first sabbatical, and I was writing these poems, like the Spoon River Anthology. Mm-hmm. Do you know the Spoon River Anthology?
I know Moon River.
Spoon River, it's a series of poems, but they're on gravestones. So you get the whole town,
the poem is
on a gravestone. And fascinating, the whole thing's fabulous. So that you get the whole, all of the people.
But yeah.
So I was doing some pieces like that. And I said, this could probably be set to music. And I asked Klaib if he was interested. He said, yeah. And he liked them. And he set some of them. And that began that. All right. So we did that. So one of the reasons, and Klaib died, as I said, but I'd really like people to get to know his music. He was just fabulous at setting a lyric. There's nobody like him. He could set a lyric, and the melodies are just wonderful. And they really, it's just amazing. So I thought it's time to do that if I can. So all of that is why I'm doing it. And I think it's talking about today.
Yeah, and we will have a chance to hear it Monday, April 24th.
Correct.
7:30 at Carnegie Stage in Carnegie. A free presentation of this piece, again, from the Bodoni County Songbook Anthology and Musical Review. And that will be presented by MTAP, the Musical Theater Artists of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're involved in supporting it, yes.
Very good. So you're now looking at, you know, Pittsburgh as sort of a home for new works. I mean, how does that stack up for, you know, maybe what you've observed in other cities?
Oh, yeah, very much so, very well. Yeah. It stacks up. Talent here is prodigious. It really is. Well, the talent in my show is just fabulous.
Right, and here we are at the Center for Media Innovation of Point Park University. We have a lot of Point Park graduates in this show.
Right, that's right.
A lot of good representation there, right from, that came from this block, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
so it's nice to see that coming back full circle, too.
Yeah, so there's all of that. And of course, I was an artistic director at the Carnegie Mellon Showcase of New Plays, so the talent that came through that was incredible, including the playwriting talent, some of whom went on to get Pulitzer Prizes, but not they weren't from Pittsburgh, but they loved it. Everyone who's come here has loved it. But no, I've worked with a lot of, I mean, the talent is really extraordinary. Well, the Musical Theater Musical Theater Artists of Pittsburgh, wonderful group of incipient writers of musical theater.
If the talent wasn't here, they wouldn't be able to exist.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, it's really, that's exactly right. Well, you know, I always say, I should tell my students, my writing students, what defines theater is the live actor. And I write for live actors to tell my story, directors for the live actors to make it, designers for the live actor to do it, but all that kind of. So you need the live actor, and you should know as a writer what actors do, should do. And that took a long time to learn, but I did. So the acting is everything, you know, it truly is. So they're here.
Yeah, and again, we will see it in action Monday, April 24th. Are you going to be there?
Oh, yes. Pacing in the back.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you there, as well as this fantastic free production of From the Bodoni County Songbook Anthology and Music Rule Review. Frank, thank you so much for your wisdom and your stories. Much appreciated.
Well,
looking forward to the show.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Good.
Very good.
A pleasure, sir.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.